This is F. Bron McCash, the Swordmaster for the Highlander television series, and you are listening to Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast on the Fandom Podcast Network.
Welcome, Highlander fans, to episode 112 of Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast here on the Fandom Podcast Network. On the show, we cover all things Highlander, including the movies, the TV series, guest interviews, novels, audiobooks, comics, special events, and interviews and reports from the Seacouver 2019 Tour, Part 2, and more. I'm Kevin, your Blood of Kings Highlander podcast host. In April of 2019, this year, yours truly, Kevin Reitzel, joined location master Andy Sloan for his Seacouver 2019 tour in the beautiful city of Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Vancouver, Canada provided the filming locations for the fictitious city of Seacouver for the 1990s Highlander TV show. The first half of each season was filmed in Vancouver, then the second half of the season moved production and location to Paris, France. Andy Sloan has been running these tours of Seacouver, Vancouver for years. His knowledge of the Highlander filming locations is extensive and very well organized and researched. I spent a week in Vancouver with Andy touring many locations for most of the Highlander filming locations in the Vancouver area, which included many fan-favorite episodes and iconic Highlander scenes and locations. I'm really excited to share my adventures and interviews from Andy Sloan's Seacouver 2019 tour. Recently, I've been posting many of the videos that I took on tour of the filming location to the Blood of Kings Highlander fandom Facebook group. If you look under the photo sections of the page, you'll find them there. We took a lot. I think I recorded over 50 videos. I still have a few to put up, but make sure you go and check those out because we covered most of the iconic locations, and the city is absolutely beautiful, and you get to see that in these videos. This is Blood of Kings 112, Seacouver Tour Chronicles Part 2, our interview with Highlander director Richard Martin. However, before we move on, I want to remind you guys what's been happening in the last few episodes of Blood of Kings. Of course, the last episode in 111, the first episode of the Seacouver Tour Chronicles, I interviewed, of course, location master Andy Sloan, the host of this event. And even though his interview I recorded last, I decided to have it published first because it's very important to know where Andy was coming from and how he organized these events. And he got to express his passion for doing so. And we got to share some stories and reminisce of the fantastic tour that we had. Also on that episode, we had an interview with Highlander actor Kim Kondershoft. So make sure you check that out. Recently, we've had some Highlander character profile episode with special guests. Like Charlie, we had a Highlander character profile about Charlie DeSalvo with guest David Walsh. We also had a Beginner's Perspective, Part 2, with my good friend Robert Baps, who is new to Highlander, and he discussed Highlander Season 2 and also Highlander 2 and Highlander 3, the movies. We also had a Darius character profile with guest Sean Dempsey. We did See It or Skip It, the Seacouver and Paris episodes, Part 1 and 2, with special guest John Mosby. We also had character profiles of Amanda with guest Shan O'Connor. We also had Rebecca Horn with Jill Burdickus. And we also had a great interview with Highlander author with his upcoming book, Mr. Jonathan Melville. So make sure you go back and check those out. Now, we want to let you guys know how you can contact us. First of all, I want to thank all you fans for supporting the show. And if you'd like to get in touch with us online and through social media, here is how you do it. You can always find Blood of Kings on the Fandom Podcast Network master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The FPNet is also on the Podbean app. The Fandom Podcast Network is now on Apple Podcast, formerly iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Blood of Kings Pod. And of course, I did mention the fandom, the Blood of Kings Highlander fandom group. That is our main page there. Make sure you check that out. We got a lot of great fans there. We also have a lot of people that have been a part of Highlander, both behind the camera and in front of the camera. We also have the sister page, Blood of Kings, a Highlander CCG collectible card game and gaming discussion group page. If you you'd like to contact us directly, you can email us at bloodykingspodcast@gmail.com. I'm Kevin. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at @Spartan_Phoenix. If you'd like to get a hold of my Fandom Podcast Network co-founder, Kyle, he is on Twitter at @AKyleW and on Instagram at @AKyleFandom. Also, if you would like to get a hold of Andy Sloan, who runs these fantastic tours of Seacouver, Vancouver, please contact him. His email is andysloan@hotmail.com. He is also on Twitter at @locationsmaster. And you can also search for Andy Sloan, SLOANE, on Facebook. There's two ways that you can support Bloody Kings and the Fandom Podcast Network. Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, formerly of iTunes, so new fans can find us easier. We love 5-star reviews, of course, but we love feedback in general. There's also our Tee Public store. You can support the Fandom Podcast Network and Bloody Kings and get your own Bloody Kings t-shirts and other apparel. Please visit the Bloody Kings store on Tee Public. You can either search Fandom Podcast Network or Bloody Kings on Tee Public, and you'll see some great logos that you can put on awesome apparel. All right. As we always like to do, we like to update you on upcoming sword experiences, Adrian Paul's sword experiences. If you have not done this yet, you are missing out. It is a fantastic experience. He's been very busy with these. My good friend Robert Baps, who is new to Highlander, signed up and has done one himself. Always, you can check swordxp.com for tour dates. Coming up, we have July 26th through July 28th. It's the Germany retreat. Also, we have two events at Combat Con in Las Vegas August 1st and August 4th. And coming soon, there's events in France, Panama, Boston, Seattle, and many more coming. If you're interested in sharing your experiences or learning about the sword experience with fans directly, you can check out two wonderful Facebook groups, fan pages. We have the Sword Experience Participants. That's experience with an X. That is Priscilla Manriguez's page. We also have the SXP, the Ultimate Sword Experience fan group, that's run by Riley, Shan, Selena, Lonnie, and Gail. All right. Here's our main topic, guys. Bloody Kings 112 Seacouver Tour Chronicles Part 2, our interview with Highlander television director Richard Martin. As I said before, Andy and I were blessed with fantastic weather this whole week that we were there. We had a great time. We met up with Gillian and early into this tour, in Gillian Horvath, and we got to see Jim Burns in concert. Jim Burns, of course, played Joe Dawson, one of the stars of Highlander, and he is a fantastic musician, and his blues band was wonderful. I had a chance to briefly talk to Jim after the concert, got a picture with him, and he was very, very kind. We also met up again with Gillian, and we joined up with F. Bron McAsh, a swordmaster for the Highlander TV series, and we toured several locations with them. That was a lot of fun. And of course, in the last episode, we interviewed Kim Kondrashoft, along with Andy's interview. But coming up, we have interviews with Stephen Gagan, the Highlander production designer and sculpt, and we also had talked to sculptor and art director Susan Suki Parker. We also talked to Jay Brazzo, an actor for the Highlander TV series. He played the commissioner in a couple of early episodes. And we talked to a gentleman by the name of Paul Bartlett. He is the Gateway Theater Building Services Supervisor. And you're wondering, who? Well, this is the awesome theater location that was for the famous fight in Song of the Executioner between Duncan and Kalis. This is where Duncan, instead of getting beheaded by Kalis, he decides to fall to his death, and he dies in front of Anne Lindsay. We took some fun pictures and the video there, and those are up on the Bloody Kings Facebook page. Just want to let you know, some of these interviews were recorded in public places where you'll hear some background noises. We didn't have the luxury of going to recording studios. We kind of recorded on the go. So you hear some background ambience in some of these interviews here, but overall they came out great, and we hope that you enjoy them. Now, on to the interview here with Richard Martin. For those of you that aren't familiar with him, and if you're a big Highlander fan, you probably are, he directed 9 episodes of Highlander. The ones that he directed are The Valkyrie, Duende, The Stone of Scone, Armageddon, Diplomatic Immunity, Black Tower, Justice, Two of Hearts, and To Be. Now, a while ago, my former co-host, Norman Lau, and I, we actually did a series of fan picks where we had fans pick episodes that they wanted us to cover. And one of them that we recovered was Valkyrie, of course, the one about Hitler and the bombing of Hitler, the attempted assassination of Hitler with the bombing. And this was a great fan favorite episode. And this was also Sean Dempsey's fanfic pick. So knowing that I was going to interview Richard Martin, I actually reached out to Sean Dempsey and I said, Sean, why don't you send me some questions? So I actually had several questions from Sean for Richard Martin in this interview. So Sean, you're welcome. Hope you enjoy. I just want to mention, too, that Richard was a great guy. He we got to visit the Valkyrie Meeting Hall location. We also, right around the corner from that, we visited the Quickening from that episode as well, that scene as well. And there's a very funny incident that happened there. So you'll find that out in the interview. So we hope that you guys enjoy this interview with Richard Martin. Welcome, Bloody Kings fans. I got a really special interview for you. Right now, I am in Vancouver, Canada, with my tour guide of Seacouver, Mr. Andy Sloan. Andy, how are you?
I'm well, sir. Thank you.
We have a very special guest here. We've been doing some tours of the city, and we have Highlander director Richard Martin. Richard has directed Valkyrie, Duende, Stone of Scone, Armageddon, Diplomatic Immunity, Black Tower, Justice, Two of Hearts, and To Be. Richard, how are you?
Very well. Thank you for having me.
First of all, not only has Andy been my tour guide, but you have been as well. You've been giving us some giving us some proper directions around your hometown here.
Yeah, well, it's a wonderful place, and we shoot lots here, and Highlander was a big part of my life.
Well, let me go back in time a little bit here. Before we had dinner tonight, I was asking you about your influence and how you got into film. Briefly tell us, what was it that got you into filming and wanting to get into behind the camera and in front of the camera? What was it?
I was always fascinated with film ever since my grandmother gave me a Super 8 camera when I was the tender age of 13. But then when I was 14, at my school, we had a boarding student who was named Michael Altman, who was the son of director Robert Altman. And at that time, Robert Altman was making McCabe and Mrs. Miller up in Cypress Bowl. And I got to spend a lot of time on the set watching him and Vilmos Zsigmond, the cinematographer, and Warren Beatty and all that sort of stuff, and hanging out in the editing room and going to see rushes and all that kind of stuff. And I was just... I got kind of hooked.
What a way to get your feet wet into that type of business. Now, did you go to school for that after that? How did you then follow up on that?
Oh, yeah. I went to UBC. I made some student Super 8 films, which did well, actually won some awards. And then I went to University of British Columbia and studied further with other filmmakers and like-minded people like myself, before starting to work with the National Film Board of Canada doing documentary work. And that eventually led to film editing and blah, 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 up to directing.
Wow, very cool. So let's jump ahead to Highlander here. How did you, first of all, I assume you were familiar with Highlander before you got the director job, right?
No.
No, you were not. You were a complete noob to Highlander.
I knew about Highlander. I had seen some clips of Highlander. But I wasn't well versed in Highlander land.
Okay.
I was kind of making it up a bit as I went along, and kind of it became a situation of reinventing the wheel for me a little bit, because I didn't know what a buzz was. I didn't know really what a quickening was. But I'm a quick study. I learned what was necessary, and people helped me along the way. But I was basically trying to make an emotional action picture.
Okay, so you had teased me that there's this great story about you meeting Davis Panzer for the first time, and that did not go well. Tell us about that.
That was the most disastrous meeting I ever had in my career, where we met at the Sutton Place in Vancouver. And when they said, Bill Panzer wants to meet you and talk about you directing an episode, I thought, great, well, we'll start out and we'll have a nice evening, and I'll ask him what it is, the show, and explain to me, and all that kind of stuff. So I went down and I sat down there and I immediately ordered a double Oban, which is the most expensive scotch you can get, and a beer. And I thought I was settling in for the evening. It turns out that we didn't even talk about the show. I talked about my son and him playing t-ball and all this kind of stuff. And then 15 minutes later, there was a guy hovering over my shoulder, and I realized I wasn't there for that. I was in a lineup of directors to meet. And Bill looked up at the guy and said, "We're just finishing up here." And so I downed my scotch. I stiffed him on the drinks. I left my sunglasses. I walked out to the car. I got in my car, put my head on the steering wheel and said, "Well, there went your television career." And it was a disastrous meeting. So imagine my surprise when 3 months later they called me up and said, "We'd like you to do an episode."
Wow.
Now, that's the next part of the story. Are you sure you want to hear
yes,
all of
I
this?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Because, the producer knew my work from before. Ken Gord knew my work and everything. And so he was a fan of a movie I'd made called North of Pittsburgh. So, as I learned, I got a call saying, Ken wants you to do an episode. I said, great. I thought it was very unusual, but I said, great. Can you send me the script? And I'll read it and we'll talk. And he said, sorry. She said, we don't have the script yet. And I said, oh, when does the script come in? Tomorrow. Oh, great. Okay. When do you start prep? Tomorrow.
Wow.
So, oh, okay. And it wasn't until a year later, after I'd done a few episodes, that Ken told me that they had there was a director who was supposed to do it who got double booked and decided to do a different show. So 2 days before prep, they didn't have a director.
Ah.
So Ken called Bill and said, we're kind of in a bind here. You remember you met those, I think it was three directors. What about one of them? And Bill said, I didn't like any of them. And he said, Ken said, apparently said, well, we're in a bit of a bind here. So out of the ones that you didn't like, which one would you say you kind of didn't like kind of the least?
The least.
I won.
Oh, that's funny. Well, that leads up to Valkyrie, okay? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And knowing Valkyrie is my good friend Sean Dempsey's favorite episode, and a lot of people love this one. I told Sean, I know you got a couple questions. So Sean has a question for you about Valkyrie. He says, I love this episode. Many of the scenes and dialogue between Duncan and Breslau, Adrian Paul and Jan Triska, are favorites of mine, such as Breslau says, what is she to you? A lover? A relation, perhaps? Mm-hmm. Or just an old friend? Old friends are the worst. They claim more of your soul. What instructions, directions, did you give Adrian and Jan Triska to get that emotional impact in those scenes? You really felt that Breslau had some insight into Duncan's soul.
You know what? That's just good writing. It was there on the page. It was there in those actors. I just had to set the tone and just say to someone like Jan, you're going through your own life here. You're talking about your own life here. Not only Duncan MacLeod's, but your stuff. Because there's that other wonderful part in the thing where he starts talking about, you know, there was a guy and he was a poet and they took him away and everything like that, and actually he was talking about his father, right? And they took him out and they shot him and all that kind of stuff, and he was talking about it, and when he started doing it, he took a couple of steps back, and I would say, please keep going, just keep going, like you're going into the past. Right, and he went up against the wall, and then he realized, then he broke down and realized that he was talking about his own father. So there was a lot of relationship between what his experience had been, Jan Triska's, and Duncan MacLeod's, and it was there. It was there in the script. It was there with the actors, All I did was set the tone.
It seems like Jan in that scene, though, is just diving into Duncan's soul. Like, he knows how much he's hiding, but he's trying to pull it from him. Mm-hmm. And that it, you know, the way that he's lighting the cigarette, and he's just totally getting into that scene. It just,
I know. Yeah. No, that's Jan Triska.
A toothpick. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Let's talk about Duende here. Sean says Duende is almost always cited as a fan favorite episode. When did you learn that this episode of yours had such a strong positive impact on the fan base? Did you feel like this was something special as you were directing it?
I still wasn't really well versed in Highlander land. I had never shot a sword sequence. Valkyrie didn't have one, and this was the next episode in Paris. So, but I knew just by when Anthony DeLongis arrived and he and F. Braun started working together, we would be together in the Hotel Westminster and on Rue de la Paix in Paris, and we would take over a conference room, and they would start working through the fight sequence. And I would sit there with them for like 2-3 hours, just watching and experiencing it. And I knew something was up with this sequence. I knew that something was up with the fight, and then once Adrian got involved, that there was something really going on here. And the complexity of it with the flamenco and the past and the future and the present, all that kind of stuff. I just had a feeling, you know, this was going to be something special, and it's why, you know, we shot the entire fight too. We sometimes the fights would get cut. We shot the entire fight because they worked so hard on it, and I could just tell this is going to be. They're going to like this. That's all I thought. They're going to like this. I didn't know they were going to like it that much.
I want to touch on one of the other episodes here. He said, to be, you directed the first of a two-part series finale. Mm-hmm. How did you approach a two-parter like that when another director, Dennis Barry, did not to be, will direct the second half? Does it make it harder to get your vision across, or do you set the tone and the pace and then the next director has to kind of follow your lead? Or does it matter?
I think Dennis was always so in tune with the show. And he had his own style, and I had my own style. He liked Steadicam a lot. I didn't like Steadicam as much. I liked things on a dolly and everything. But you know, we didn't really communicate. He did his own thing. I did my own thing. And somehow they blended well together, because at that time we were both so well in tune with the Highlander situation. And the nice part about it, though, was because of the scheduling situation, I not only got to shoot part of To Be, but also the ending of Not To Be. So the final sequence in the Bercy tunnel of the final fight, the final quickening, and then on the barge, the final scenes and everything, and Duncan.
So I got to put a little cap on there.
Shoot the end of the series.
That's very cool.
Yeah. So, and then Dennis shot a couple of scenes from my episode too.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. Nice. So that's net how you guys work back and forth on that.
Yeah. Yeah. So we would communicate about that, but you know.
Which scenes of your episode did he direct?
There was one where up at Sacré-Cœur, where they're sitting there, and Duncan sees Tessa, and they're in a scene with Tessa, and a scene with who was it? The guy coming in and getting Joe Dawson and everything, you know, giving him a shot in the neck. Liam O'Rourke, yeah. And so, and to his credit, Dennis shot it like on a dolly.
These are the two scenes Dennis directed on your episode.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And that's scheduling and everything like that. But I had the honor of shooting the final scenes.
Two of your episodes, Valkyrie and the Stone of Scone, are historical fiction based on two actual historical events. You're placing your favorite characters into real history, not just as some unknown soldier on a battlefield. You're trying to convince the audience that your characters were central players in two different events, attempting assassination of Hitler and the actual thieves who stole the stone. Do you worry about historical accuracy, or how do you balance telling a new story while placing them into historic settings like this?
Oof, that's a question and a half.
Yeah.
I read up about the situations for both shows, but after a point, you have to just go with the material. I mean, when I first got to that production office and I got, you know, waited around until noon on the first day of prep and got the script, I opened it up, and on the cast list, you know, there's Duncan MacLeod, Joe Dawson, Mythos, and it said Hitler. I went, Hitler? Hitler? What? And I just, at that point, I thought, I've made a terrible mistake. What am I doing here? And everything. But then I read the script, and the script was really good. You know, and so then you go with the power of the script, you know, and everything. And it, yeah, sure, it was about Hitler, but it's a fantasy. And it's more about this woman and the moral dilemmas and the fact that Duncan has to kill somebody who's a friend and who he loves because of, you know, his moral code.
Gotcha. You know?
And then it becomes about that.
Yeah. You had mentioned earlier, too, that it was a first on two accounts. It was your first episode and also James Thorpe's first episode to write for Highlander.
Yeah. Right. Yes.
For the Valkyrie episode, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was like two newbies going at it, and both of us kind of trying to.
Well, you made an impression. You guys are both ass back.
Yeah.
We have a season six question here. Fans have mixed reviews and feelings about season six, especially the episodes without Duncan. Did you feel like there was a different tone or feeling on set while filming any of these season six episodes versus the episodes from season five?
Well, yeah, there was a bit of a thing that, you know, they were trying to create a spinoff. And it was the Highlander Babe shows, as they called them. And I only had to do one of them. So that was good for me, because I actually got the more, I want to say, you know, kind of interesting scripts.
The Two of Hearts one, yes.
Yeah,
Claudia
and then,
Christian,
and then
yeah.
I got to do that one, and that was without Adrian. And so, but we still tried to keep the Highlander tone to the whole situation. But, you know, it was obviously, things were going in a different direction.
Right.
And I think that might be why some of the fans, it wasn't the same as it'd been before. It was transitioning into something new.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So after you film your last episode of Highlander, by the way, I want to thank Sean Dempsey for those questions. Those were great, man. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you, Sean. They were hard.
Yes.
Well, you've only had 20 plus years to think about that.
After you move on from Highlander, when did you start feeling that you had been part of something special, because there's conventions that are coming out now, people are making appearances? First of all, when was your first Highlander convention? Let me start there.
I only went briefly to one that happened in Vancouver. I guess it was 2003 or 2004. I was feeling very nostalgic because Bill Panzer had passed away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was
2007. Was that 2007?
Was it October or 2007? Oh, okay. I got it completely wrong there. So it was 2007. Oh, right.
March of 2007.
Okay, because in 2003, I went and did video interviews for him.
Is that for the DVDs?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And so he when he passed away, I was feeling very nostalgic for the thing. And Bill had been a huge champion of mine. He liked what I did, even after our first completely disastrous meeting. He grew to be my biggest champion and everything like that. So I felt really bad, and I went through. And then it was just beautiful to see everyone again, you know. And then not until that 2017, I guess, yeah, 10 years later, went back, you know.
Gotcha.
And but I mean, I always knew back in the day, you know, there wasn't the widespread internet and everything like that as gave to Andy there. There's all these chat rooms were going
back up in the 90s,
and I didn't know that they even existed. And so to suddenly read, have a stack of paper of what people were writing about the episodes.
Just to clarify, Richard had shown us this binder, Andy and I, of these printouts of these conversations fans were having on these chat rooms about your episode, and you were fascinated by that.
Well, yeah, no, I didn't know that even happened. But it was around the time that X-Files was doing things and Highlander was in there, and they had stores and all this kind of stuff. And I suddenly realized this is a big deal. Nowadays, you've got Game of Thrones. We'll see what a big deal that is and everything. But it was just kind of starting back then, you know. And so I knew it was something big. I didn't know it would be as enduring as it was, and that I'd be sitting here talking to you guys about it all these years later, just pleases me to all the hell.
That's awesome. I wanted to ask you a little bit more. You've touched on it about your experience at the 2017 Highlander Worldwide Gathering in Los Angeles that I was at, Andy was at, and it was a wonderful event for all these hardcore fans that came all around the country and even around the world. Tell us a little bit about that experience for you. What was that like for you?
Well, it was great. I had a feeling I had to be a part of it because I had a feeling it was going to be one of the last, if not the last, and everything. And it was a great opportunity. I hadn't seen Elizabeth in years. I hadn't, Stan. It was just wonderful to be there. And then there were all these people there. And I just went, and everyone was so emotional, and it was so beautiful, and I just thought, again, look how enduring this is, that people are still looking at this and getting something out of it, and finding those wonderful moral dilemmas that were so beautifully crafted by David Abramowitz and his team and everything, and I just went, wow, I'm so lucky to be part of something like that.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I just want to say I really had a great time today, Andy and I, going around and checking out where Valkyrie was filmed. And I was wondering if you could just tell really quick about the quickening scene at the end of that one and what happened when we were in that alley.
Ah, yes. This was the when I should have been fired situation.
I love this story.
Because we were doing the quickening, and the special effects fellow, Darren, lovely man, had set up some kind of box to fall down and start on flaming fire, all this kind of stuff. And so we were shooting it, and it fell down, and it started burning. And then it started burning up the side of the freaking building and everything. And I'm watching Adrian and everything and seeing that and kind of smiling and nodding, thinking, okay, this is going okay. And then Darren's standing beside me with the fire extinguisher saying, please call cut. Please call cut. I got to go in there. Please call cut. And everything. I thought, oh, yeah, of course. Cut, 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 cut. And then he goes running in and sprays down the side of the building, which is basically on fire, and I tried to burn it down. And normally that would be a kind of thing that would kind of get you fired in a lot of ways, but they were liking the episode so much in the rushes that they sent their team of painters around, and for I think it was about cost them about $5,000 or $6,000, they painted the entire Wise Hall. And so for 17 years I could drive by it and go, I painted it that color. And
the Wise Hall, where the premises would hold their gatherings. Rich, thanks to Richard, it has a new paint job.
Thank goodness they repainted it a few years ago. It was about time. I said, do I have to come back and try to burn it down again before you paint it?
I got one last question for you. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of Highlander fans that are fans of you. What would you like to say to Highlander fans? What's your message to Highlander fans?
I just thank you for enjoying those episodes. It was, for me, it was my first foray into television. I kind of started at the top of the situation because it was such a hit show back then. And so many things after that. I mean, you know, the bar was set very high, and so it wasn't always the best. And the fact that it's been so enduring for so many people for so long, you're all beautiful. Thank you.
That's awesome. Now, Andy, I wanted to give you a chance. Did you have one last question for Richard?
I can't think of any, actually, at the moment.
We'll pick this up again sometime.
Richard, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate you being with us and being helping us with the tour guide today. Really,
hey,
it's great.
It was so much fun.
All right. Thank you, guys. Blood of Kings, we got more coming for you from our 2019 Seacouver tour. All right. We hope you guys enjoyed that interview with Richard Martin. Got a little more information I want to share on that. But first, I'd like to play the Fandom Podcast Network promo, letting you know what else is on the network. Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to recommend these other great podcasts on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, our weekly pop culture podcast with the latest news, reviews, and other fun topics in pop culture. For you Highlander fans, we've got Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast where we cover all things Highlander. Couch Potato Theater is for you movie buffs, our podcast celebrating the cult classics and fan favorite movies we don't get off the couch for. Time Warp, a look back on our classic and nostalgic fandoms that we still celebrate today. We also have End Zone for you NFL fans, our podcast talking about all things current in the NFL and giving our best mediocre fantasy football advice. Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast with hosts Tom, Brandon, and Chris discussing the master of suspense, Alfred Hitchcock. And for you Star Trek Discovery and Orville fans, we have Discoville, talking about everything Discovery and the Orville. And for you hard rock music fans, we have the Hair Metal podcast. The Hair Metal Podcast rediscovers the nostalgia of the 1980s hair metal bands. And we also have Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, where we discuss all things Doctor Who, both past and present. And our newest podcast, Lethal Mullet, our podcast celebrating action movies from the 1980s with your host, Adam P. O'Brien. You can find these great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play, and now on Spotify. On Facebook, you can find us at Fandom Podcast Network, on Instagram, Fandom Podcast Network, and also on Twitter at FanPod Network. You can also email us directly at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening and supporting the Fandom Podcast Network. And remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom. All right. Welcome back, guys. We hope that you enjoyed that interview with Richard Martin. I can't say enough nice things about Richard. He was very gracious with his time. It was really fun to do that tour in the afternoon with him and check out the Valkyrie filming locations and many others. It was nice to kind of see from his perspective of what it was like filming during that time and a lot of the things that they had to go through and the procedures that they had to do. Because during that time in the 90s, Vancouver was blowing up with the film industry. Of course, it started with like 21 Jump Street and Booker and, of course, X-Files. And then, of course, later on, we had Stargate. It was becoming the second Hollywood. And the reason for that, it was cheaper to produce a lot of productions, TV productions and movie productions in Vancouver. It was cheaper to do so. And so that's why it became such a popular place. And it was really nice to get his perspective during that time. Richard Martin has been very busy in the Vancouver area, working on many other movie and television productions. One of my favorites from the 90s, 1996 movie White Tiger with Gary Daniels, a nice martial arts actioneer. But he's been very busy in the area. He's been doing a lot of other stuff as well. He did Slapshot 3. He did Young Blades TV series, Da Vinci's Inquest, Just Cause, Much Ado About Whatever. He did a TV series called Tracker. He did Queen of Swords, Hollywood Off-Ramp, the new Addams Family TV series in the late 90s.
He did Air Bud, Golden Retriever, and he also did an episode of one of my campy favorites, Ninja Turtles, The Next Mutation Eats Meast West, did a video for that. And I, like I said, he's a really, really cool guy. It was really nice to be able to talk to him, and we hope that you guys have enjoyed that interview. Well, we got some other things coming up here. We're going to tease what is the next episode. Bloody Kings 113, Seacouver Tour Chronicles, Part 3, interview with Highlander production designer Stephen Gagan, and also the sculptor and art director Susan Suki Parker. Now, these guys were great because Andy and I were invited to Steve Gagan's house for this interview. Great location in West Vancouver. And it was very nice that he led us into his home and we did the interview there. But what was really cool was getting his insight of what was happening with Highlander and also talking to Suki. But we did talk to Stephen Gagan. A couple topics we talked about was the design of the Watcher symbol and the Highlander TV series logo. And also we talked to Suki because she designed and created that Wrath of Khali statue. Very interesting story there. So look forward to that in the next episode. I'd like to thank my special guest on this episode, Richard Martin. And I'm Kevin, and on behalf of my special guest, Richard Martin, thanks everyone for listening, and join us again next time here on the Fandom Podcast Network for another episode of Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast. Richard, that sensation you are feeling is the quickening. We are one. We are brothers. Goodbye, everyone.